morning, church. We're so good to see, glad to see you here. Just want to share that all of you have been prayed in the door this morning. God has a purpose for you here, and the Spirit is moving. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There's freedom, and so we are free today. Just want to just share a couple of things before we jump into the message. The Book of James, a series that we're going through, it's what's called an expositional series, which means we kind of go through verse by verse. Some series will do it this way, and others will do kind of a topical series. But if you're following along with us, we're in James chapter 2. So I'm going to invite you to kind of find a Bible on your phone or in front of you and turn to James chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 26 this morning. So I'll give you a second. I'll hear those page turns as you kind of, or I guess your thumb doesn't make a sound. But we'll let you get there. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. So I stepped on some toes this morning with this one. So if you're wearing your steel-toe boots, you'll be okay. And if not, then, it'll be what it is. So we're called to preach the whole word of God. Amen? All right, let's pray. God, you call us to be more like your son, Jesus. We know that Jesus went out into this world. He shared a message of hope, served others, became a servant, shared honestly and candidly, loved others. He taught us that our faith in you is not something passive. Rather, it's something that empowers and spurs us on towards love and good deeds. So may our lives continue to be a reflection of the life that Jesus, our teacher and Lord, led. And for his name, we give life and we have breath and we live truly in abundance. For we pray in his name. Amen. There's a story about a boy with a broken leg. And he was walking and he had a lot of presents with him. And he was trying to maneuver along and he had these crutches, right? And so he's moving along in these crutches. And all of a sudden, this guy kind of ran into him. And he knocked all of these gifts all over the ground. And the man paused and he began to chide this little boy, began to yell at him for getting in his way. Meanwhile, another gentleman saw this from across the room. And he walked over and he picked up the boy's presents. And he slipped like a little $1 bill in his pocket. And the boy couldn't remember a time when he had experienced a kind of love like this, a kind of care like this. And he looked at the guy and he said, "Mister, thank you so much. Are you Jesus?" And the guy responded, "No, but I'm one of his followers." Acting out your faith. Having a faith that is active, not passive. Having a faith that actually shows others who you are, whose you are, is vital to our lives as a Christian. Now listen to this. This is what it says in the book of James, chapter 2, that what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but no deeds, can such a faith save them? If you were caught in this situation, what would you do? I mean, now all of us probably, maybe there's a couple of stray cats here, but all of us would probably say that we would align ourselves with this kind gentleman, right? That we would be the ones that would go over and we would pick up the presents and we would care for this young boy. But maybe this first guy, he had a train to catch and he was late. And so he was rushing along and this boy actually stopped. Or perhaps the boy just wasn't paying any attention and he just kind of got out in the middle and just ran into this guy, you know? Either way, no matter what it is, we all have excuses for the way that we act, the things that we do. And we don't always focus on the things that God calls us to do. James very boldly and directly teaches us that our faith in Christ is to be abundantly more than just words. Now, the book of James is a pastoral letter, okay? It concerns the attitudes and actions of the spiritual life in the church. And as the leader of the first church in Jerusalem, James felt this enormous responsibility for the spiritual growth of that Christian community everywhere. And what he did is when he wrote this, it was for those people in Jerusalem, but it got sent out to a lot of other churches so that they would be encouraged by this. Listen to these words in the book of James, chapter 2. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save them? Can such a faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace and keep well and fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead, is what it says. But someone will say to you, I have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith with deeds. You believe that there's one God. Good. Even the demons believe that, yet shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did and offered his son Isaac at the altar? You see that his faith and actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled and says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteousness by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies of Israel and sent them off in a different direction. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. You see, James' writing may seem on the surface to contradict what Paul says about salvation by faith alone from the book of Romans. However, James is simply protesting the hypocrisy that's in the church. He wants the world to know that faith is a transforming force, right? Salvation by faith results in holy living. These two are not opposed to one another. They actually complement one another. The two teachings, in essence, are the formation of a well-rounded Christian faith. Redemption, faith, and holy living, works. So we're going to examine the passage a little bit more clearly. So the first thing we run into in verse 14 is that faith is not something that we just talk about. Right, it says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have deeds? Can such a faith save them? Notice that it doesn't say, if someone has faith, but it says, if someone claims they have faith. There's a tremendous difference here. See, in other words, he knows the right language. He knows the right phrases. He knows what to say when he's around Christians. He can talk the talk. The question is, can he walk the walk? You see, we tend to place a label on of people as Christians if they make the slightest sound that they're a believer. But it's more than just talking like a Christian that is involved in real faith. Remember, James is trying to refute those who have begun to abuse this doctrine of justification by work, by faith. It's a situation and similar today. Many people who are undoubtedly professing Christ one day, and then they return to their usual worldly selves another day, have no evidence of God's grace in their lives throughout the course of the week. It's kind of like advertising today. How many of you like drink Gatorade? I do. Anybody else? There's like four people in this room that drink Gatorade. Okay, there you go. So you drink Gatorade or you have a soda, right, and you watch TV and you see like all of these awesome people on there, right? Like Gatorade, if you drink Gatorade, you're going to become like the best athlete. I have yet to find myself on a Wheaties box. I have. And I drink Gatorade regularly, you know, or it's like a car, you know, you go out and the car dealer, they boost up what the car is and they're saying how great it is. Now, would you ever jump into a car that you've never, ever, ridden before? Would you ever buy a car that you've never ridden before? It's this kind of false advertising. And the same thing it is with Christians as well. I mean, we can talk all that we want. We can say all the things we do, you know, but it would be pretty foolish if we didn't actually follow it up with some actions in our lives, showing true evidence that we are believers, that we have a faith, is vital to that faith. Let me be up front with you. If you don't get anything else out of this sermon, I want you to get this, okay? You ready? Everyone's eyes. I want to see you. Okay, no one's sleeping. Okay, here we go. We cannot work our way into heaven. You can't do it. We cannot work our way into heaven. Not everybody who has a Christian bumper sticker is a believer. Not everyone who wears a Christian t-shirt is a Christian. Not everyone who listens to Christian music is a Christian. Talk is cheap. If you say that you've accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and there's been no change in your life, then here's a tough word. Perhaps you truly need to take a look and see if you really have accepted Jesus. If you are not living out your faith, if the way that you live your life does not actually reflect who you are, then maybe you need to take a look at if you've fully surrendered to Christ. Real faith is not something that you talk about. It's not just something that you say. It's something that you live. Real faith involves your life, not your lifestyle. We are to walk the walk, talk the talk, and we are to walk the walk, right? As we continue, we learn that real faith is not something that you just feel as well. Real faith is more than emotions, friends. A lot of people confuse a high emotional state for the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, right? There's no doubt in my mind that when the Holy Spirit is working, we should be excited, that something should be happening and we should be so energized by that. But just because of a person being in a high emotional state does not mean that that is the work of the Holy Spirit. James tells us that real faith is more than just the way we feel. James gives us his practical advice. He says this: if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled," but you do not give them the things that they need for their body, what does it profit? We may feel bad about a situation that a brother and sister are Christ in, but if we do nothing, what good does that do? Real faith is more than just sympathy. Real faith is more than empathy, and it's more than emotion. Real faith takes the initiative and does something. A real believer has a faith that is practical. It gets involved with one another. When you become a part of God's family, you have family responsibilities. Real believers are to care for and encourage one another. There's a Peanuts cartoon. Charlie Brown and Linus are looking out the window at Snoopy, and it's cold, and it's like snowing outside. It's wintertime, and Snoopy's out there, and he's looking at his dog bowl, and it's empty, and he's looking sad, and he's looking chilled to the bone. And Charlie Brown says to Linus, he says, "You know, he's cold and hungry. We really need to do something about that." So they both walk outside, and they say to Snoopy, "Be of good cheer, Snoopy," and they turn around and walk back in. You know, do you know where Charles Schultz got this idea from? Well, it's from the Scripture. See, what good is faith if we do not help others? Real faith gives. Real faith is generous. Real faith is counted on in a crisis. Real faith does not just talk the talk. It walks the walk. Faith is more than just feeling sorry for someone, carrying around the emotional stuff, but it's actually doing something about it. Faith is also not just something that you think about. Right? For some people, faith is an intellectual trip, right? I mean, it's a matter to be studied, and it's a matter to be debated and talked over. James understands this about some people when he says this, but someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." I can just kind of see this debate going on, two guys getting together saying, "Hey, I have faith," and the other one saying, "Well, I've got faith too," and they start debating who has this real faith, and finally one says, "Well, listen, I can show you my faith. I can be seen in the works that I do every day. It can be seen in my action, in my word, and just who I am and how I live. That's how I can show you." And James says, "Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." James is telling us that faith is to be seen in our actions. There's evidence of our faith, and it's called works. In other words, James is saying, prove to me that you have a faith, and I can prove to you that I have it. I can show you how my faith has affected my life and the things that I do for Christ and for those who he called me to be alongside with. If you claim to be a Christian, if you have real faith, guess what? People must see it. Right? I will show you the faith I have by what I do. If I tell you that I believe that the physical health is important and that I believe everybody should maintain a physically healthy lifestyle, if I tell you all of that and I said, you know, everybody in this church, we've got to have a physically healthy lifestyle, everybody's got to do eat right, everybody's got to exercise, everybody's got to do that, and that's what it takes to be kind of a great person, right, a follower of Jesus, we need to kind of take care of our temple. If I told you all that, okay, we started programs and all this other stuff, and you came back to me and you say, "Well, Brian, do you eat right?" And I said, Well, you know, no, I don't eat right. I love chicken wings, and I just eat them, you know, 3-4 times a week. I just love that. And if you came to me and you say, "Brian, do you exercise?" And I said, "Oh, no. That's not really that important, that I need to do that." And then you ask, you know, "Do you get the proper rest? Do you take the vitamins? Do you kind of go get your checkups every day?" And I said, no. See, you would think that the statement I would make that everybody should maintain a healthy lifestyle is something that is totally wrong. Right? I can say all those things. I can say this is the way you should be. This is the way you should believe. This is the way you should live. But if I'm not willing to do it, if I'm not willing to act out on it, if I'm not willing to be that kind of person, then you're not going to listen. My actions need to back up my words. And I guess the same is for our true faith. That if you have faith in Christ, James says, show me. Show me this, right? Prove it. Real faith changes things, right? If you grab a hold of a live 220-volt wire, you're going to know it. And if you grab a hold of Jesus, who's a lot more than that, you're going to know it. Faith changes things. Show me a true faith without works if you can. And in the meantime, I'll simply allow my faith to prove who I am and whose I am because of the things that I do. We go on. Real faith is not just something you believe in as well. Look at James chapter 2, verse 19. It says, you believe there's one God and you do well. Even the demons believe it and they tremble. Just because you believe in a God, it does not make you godly. It does not make you a Christian. There's a lot of people who believe that there's a God. Some people can even quote Bible verses. Some people even know the Lord's Prayer by heart. They may talk to you about doctrine and theology, but James says, big deal, right? Just saying that I believe in God is not enough to get you into the kingdom of heaven. Go ahead and think about that word believe. In the Greek, it means to trust in, to cling to rely in, to commit yourself completely to. You see, I'm a Christian because I trust in Jesus. It's more than head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge. I understand that Jesus came and died for my sins, and that makes sense to me in my head. That's head knowledge. But I also believe that Jesus came and died for my brokenness, died for my sins, and that's heart knowledge. That my eternal life is there because of what Jesus is. And I'm willing to bet that whole eternity because of what Jesus did. But when you ask them, when you ask people, you know, do you go to church? Their answer is no. Do you worship with other believers? No. Do you make time to help other people and serve other people? No. Do you tithe? No. Do you have a daily time with God? No. Do you follow the teachings of the Bible? No. Do you put the Bible into practice in your everyday life? No. You see, James would call that a phony belief, a phony faith, right? If you believe Jesus, if you entrust him in all that you do and you do what he tells you to do, if you listen to him, if you follow him, then Jesus said it this way, if you love me, you show it by doing what I have told you to do. It's more than just belief, and it's more just saying that you believe something. It's actually living it out each and every day. As we wrap up today, it's important to recognize that real faith is something that we do. Real faith acts. Faith is not passive. It is active. Faith is not just a comment. It's a commitment. James gives a powerful example of faith in action. He tells us of the faith of Abraham. Follow along with me as I read. Was it not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Some of you might not know the story, but the story goes like this. You see, Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac on an altar to God. 25 years earlier, God had already declared that Abraham was righteous. He had already said that, hey, this is my guy, right? He is righteous. And Abraham already was a believer, and he already knew exactly who God was before he even offered up his son Isaac for sacrifice. The part of the story has nothing to do with salvation. The part of Abraham's stories has to do with putting faith into action. This part of the story has Abraham being obedient. Abraham was faithful. He obeyed God. He took the instructions from God without question at all. Right? He took up his son and he cut the wood and he built the altar and he laid his son down and he took out his knife and he was ready to kill his own son. But God intervened. His actions of faith proved his faith. He believed in God. He trusted in God. He obeyed God. And he follows God's instruction to the letter. His works proved that he had a faith in God. And the Bible said, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Our faith is not determined by what we do. It is demonstrated by what we do. Did you hear that, the difference? Our faith is not determined by what we do. It is demonstrated by what we do. Rahab, the scripture talks about, was a resident in the city of Jericho. Her story was told in Joshua chapters 2 and 6. Joshua sent two spies in to get a lay of the land of Jericho, and there they met Rahab, who protected them and confirmed that she believed in God and what God was doing. And Rahab heard about the word and believed, and she responded with her mind and her emotions and her will, but also with her actions. She did something about it. She risked her life and protected these spies from Israel. Her mind recognizes the truth. Her heart stirred with the truth, and she acted upon that truth. She proved her faith by the works that she did. And so in the case of both Abraham and Rahab, they vindicated their claims to believe in God by the conduct of their lives. So I want you to ask yourself, in the midst of what James shared with us, am I really a Christian? Am I really a follower of Jesus? Do I have this kind of faith that James talks about? I mean, ask yourself, is my life any different from those people who do not know Jesus? Is my faith evident to those who do not know Jesus that I'm a little bit crazy for Jesus? If not, I guess we need to do something about that, don't we? I guess we should settle this issue right here and right now. Because Jesus is the true life. He is the way and the truth and the life. And we need to ask God to come into our life, to take control of our life, friends. We cannot say we have faith and then not do anything about it. We can't just talk the talk. We have to walk the walk. We need to put our faith in God. We need God's strength and his hope and his joy and his love. God wants us to follow him. He wants us to commit our lives to him. He wants us to give our life to him. We need to put our faith in God. But we can't just do that. We can't just say that. We can't just believe that. We can't just think that. We actually have to act on that. So what are you going to do today to act out your faith? What are you going to do this coming week? Tell you what, the local missions team just met this past week. We are going to have a list of things for you all to do to live out your faith. We're going to go down and meet the bikers next month down in Ephrata City. We're going to go hand out some stuff down there. We're going to spend some time caring for backpacks and for coats. We're going to have a picnic downtown because we believe that we can't just be here in this facility, that we actually need to be someplace else, being the church outside of this church. So what are you going to do today? What are you going to do this week to not just say that you have faith? Oh, yeah, I went to church. Woo! It was great. Dean's awesome. Right? Not just going to say, you know, hey, you know, we went to Bible study, and that's what I got. I'm all good. I'm ready to go. But what are you going to do to act on the faith that you have? God, we thank you so much for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to live for you. God, we pray that we just don't say that we have a great faith, that we say that we're a disciple of Jesus, that we say that, you know, God, we go to life groups and we go to church and we hang around our Christian friends. But Lord God, may people see that we have a faith in you. May people see that the way that we act is different from that of the world, God. May people see that we are willing to go out and help others and encourage others and support others and challenge others, Lord God. Because God, we can sit in this room, every single Sunday, and we can kind of listen to what the word tells us, but until we put that word into action, is our faith just hollow? So God, may we walk in your light, may we be caught up in your love, and may we too have a reckless love for everybody in this world as we share these things and proclaim them in the name of the one who gives us life in abundance, Jesus the Christ. Amen.